I have been given my limitations today as to when I have to stop. So I'm going to try to honor that. We're going to be talking about another word of the Christian faith. I'm just going to go over the ones that we've already covered thus far. I know there's some here who were not here when we talked about the others. But the first one was the word salvation. And that's the word of power. And one passage of Scripture that really brings that out is Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, where Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." It's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God." The second word that we looked at was substitution, and that's the word of grace. And the little acrostic that is used to define grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus Christ purchased our salvation. He took our place on the cross as our substitute. And he bestowed upon us God's riches by his death for us. And then we had propitiation. Now, that's one word that we don't use in our vocabulary today, propitiation. But it is in the Bible. And it's the word of satisfaction. Jesus Christ satisfied God's requirement. What was God's requirement? The wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ satisfied God's requirement that sin be punished with death. He took our place. And then we had the word reconciliation. And that's the word of peace. We can have a peace. You can have a peace that passes understanding if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, 19 and 21, "To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now we come to our fifth word, and it's the word redemption. And redemption is the word of freedom. We have been freed from the prison house of sin by Christ paying the purchase price for us. This word, some form of this word, redeem, is used 161 times in the Bible. And if you also looked up the word purchased or bought, you would find it even more times than that. But over 161 times the word redeemed is used. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree." Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. There's a correspondence course that I've had for many years there at home. When I used to go out to the prison and have Bible studies, I used this with the prisoners. It's called Bread Enough. And one of the statements that's made in this correspondence course is, "Christ's sacrifice not only paid the penalty for our sins, but it also provided release from the power of sin. That is, man is by nature not only a rebel, but also a slave of sin, and in need of freedom. The sacrifice of Christ, therefore, should be viewed as redemption, as payment for all that the law holds against the sinner. In other words, Christ's sacrifice is a ransom, a price paid to buy back someone held captive." And that is the definition of redemption. Christ's sacrifice is a ransom, a price paid to buy back someone who is held captive. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Redemption. Being redeemed is being set free by the payment of a ransom. We're going to be looking at five P's today. Five words that begin with P that describe our redemption. First of all, the picture of our redemption that we see in the Old Testament. Redemption by right. Look in your Bibles at Ruth chapter 4. We're going to be looking at Ruth chapter 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. Here in Ruth chapter 4, Boaz is speaking before the 10 elders of the city, and a kinsman redeemer that is closer kin to Naomi than he is. And it says in Ruth chapter 4, beginning with verse 4, "I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me so I will know. For no one has right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it." I will redeem it, he said. So this is the kinsman, the kinsman who Boaz is speaking to. He says, "I will redeem it." Well, then Boaz goes on in verse 5 to describe what all he's purchasing. He just thought he was purchasing some land. But then says, "Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the kinsman redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Here, these verses are a picture of our redemption. It's a picture here of the kinsman redeemer, where if like in the case of Ruth, her husband died, his next of kin, who is able to do so, is to take Naomi and the property and make it theirs. They are to redeem it. And thus they're called a kinsman redeemer. And then we have in the Old Testament redemption by price. That was redemption by right. That was that person's right. That was Ruth's right to be redeemed, and at his responsibility to redeem her. But then we have redemption by price, Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. There are differences of opinion about Hosea as to whether he married a woman who was a prostitute or if he was told that she was going to become one and he married her. In any case, when you look at Hosea chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading this from the New Living Translation to make it just a little clearer. So if you'll follow along in your Bibles, Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And we're talking about redemption by price. "Then the Lord said to me, go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. So I bought her back for 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley and a measure of wine. Then I said to her, you must live in my house for many days and stop your prostitution. During this time, you will not have sexual relations with anyone, not even with me." And so here is the price. Hosea is buying back his wife. A picture of Christ paying for us and buying us back. And the Lord used Hosea as an illustration to his people, how they had turned their backs on him and they needed to be redeemed. Redemption by price. And then we have redemption by power. God's redemption of Israel. out of Egypt. They were in Egyptian bondage. And you know the story of how that God brought 10 plagues on Egypt, demonstrating his power there and bringing those plagues on Egypt. But also God led them out from under the bondage of the Egyptians. Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. It says in Exodus chapter 6, 6, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burden of the Egyptians." Redemption by power. You see, we can't redeem ourselves. And there are a lot of people that are trying to do that today. They're trying to do all these good works to make them acceptable before God. There's a place right down the road here, not far from us. People who are going out knocking on doors because they think they can earn their way to heaven. Their zeal is to be commended. But what they're basing this on, they're just heading for an eternity in hell. And anybody that follows them, they're just carrying them in that same direction. Because they do not know the truth of the gospel. It's free. Salvation is free. And it's only by the power of God that we can be saved. And so the Old Testament gives us a picture of redemption. The redemption by right, redemption by price, and redemption by power. But then I want us to look at the provision of our redemption. Over in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. This is speaking of the provision of our redemption. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The provision of our redemption is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had to come and die upon that cross, or we could not have been redeemed. Nobody else could do it for you. You can't do it for yourself. It's only by the Lord Jesus Christ shedding his blood for us. So now, let's look at what it says here in the New Testament about redemption, first of all, by right. Jesus Christ became a man. Hebrews 2:14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Christ took upon himself the flesh of a man. He took upon himself the limitations that we have. He was thirsty and he was hungry. He came into this sin-cursed world and was ridiculed and was tortured. And he did it all because he loved you so much. Over in John chapter 1, well, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And in verse 14 it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he made God's grace available to us. Jesus Christ did not come into this world for any other reason but because God wanted you to be saved. And that's redemption by right. You have a right to be redeemed. Because the Lord is not slack As it says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise of coming back again, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's desire for each one of us, that we repent, that we turn from our sins and turn our lives over to him. Redemption by right, and then we have redemption by price. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, Matthew 20, verse 28 says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many." Redemption by price. Jesus Christ gave his life as a ransom for you. You see, we were in the prison house of sin. We were on the slave market. And Jesus Christ paid the ransom price to free us from the slave market. And then we have redemption by power. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Jesus Christ delivered us from the power of darkness. We were held in a prison. Satan had locked us in. And Jesus Christ came to free us by his power, to free us from that power of darkness. The picture of our redemption, the provision of our redemption, and the price, or the power of our redemption. But now we want to look at the price of our redemption. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. It's a passage that was referred to this morning at the worship service. 1 Peter 1, beginning with verse 18. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. There were small silver coins and gold coins that were used to buy a slave out of the slave market. And so Peter is saying, these coins, you were not redeemed. You were not bought out of the slave market of sin with corruptible things like money. And there's some people that are trying to buy their way to heaven with their money. This is a corruptible thing. You're not redeemed with that, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That word precious, and the reason that's used in your Bible is there's no measurement for it. You cannot measure. It's impossible to measure what Christ did for us. It's precious. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, it also talks about the price of our redemption. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." According to the riches of his grace. We have redemption through his blood. The price of our redemption was the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the question that we have to ask, are my sins under the blood? Are they covered with the blood of Christ? There was a teacher in a Sunday school class once that asked the students, "Is there anything that God can't do?" And one little boy raised his hand and says, "My dad said that God can't see through Jesus' blood." God cannot see through Jesus' blood. Your sins are wiped away, never to be remembered again. They're buried in the depths of the sea. Now, I don't know how that's possible when God is an all-knowing God, but he said it, and I believe it. And that's what he wants us to do, is to accept it by faith. He paid the price for you. The price has been paid. You know, and I'm sure if I went around the room, we'd find out that a lot of us sitting here owe some money. Now, we might have a home equity that we're using on is a problem that we have, and buying stuff on home equity, or you might have some credit cards. If somebody came and offered to pay all your debt, I guarantee you there's not a one of you sitting here that would refuse. You would not refuse to let somebody else pay your debt. And yet, there are people sitting right here that have refused to accept that Jesus has paid their debt for them. That's the price of our redemption, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the purpose of our redemption. First of all, it's a life of glorifying God. The purpose for our redemption. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. It says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, and that's one of the reasons I said you could look up purchased or bought. But in 1 Corinthians 6:20 it says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You have been bought with a price. That's the purpose of your salvation, is to glorify God because you've been bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And then in 1 Corinthians 7:23 it says, "You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of sin, of men. You have been bought out of the prison house of sin. Do not be the servants of men." You've been bought with a price. And then in Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The purpose of our redemption is to glorify our Father which is in heaven. In the 23rd Psalm, it says this, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake," not for my name's sake. I'm nothing. He's everything. I'm his representative. I'm his ambassador. When people look at me, I should want them to see the Lord Jesus Christ. That means in our attitudes, in our actions, when you go to a restaurant and maybe you have somebody that's not giving you the service that you think is acting like Jesus and not acting like the old man. You know, if you talk nasty to a waitress, please don't leave a track. Because I guarantee you it'll go into the trash can. We have a responsibility. I don't care how people treat us. Just remember, Jesus Christ opened not his mouth. When all the false accusations were hurled at him, he opened not his mouth. And you know why he didn't open his mouth? Because he was standing in our place, and we had no defense. We were guilty as charged, and he was taking that punishment for us. It's a life of glorifying God. The purpose of our redemption is a life of freedom from iniquity, from sin. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm free from the law of sin and death. There's freedom in Jesus Christ. And then it's a life of service and holiness. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul says, "I beseech you, I beg of you, brethren, I plead with you, by the mercies of God, in the light of God's mercy, and sending his Son to die in your place, I beg of you, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." A life of service, a life of holiness, presenting your body as a living sacrifice, which is the least we can do. after all he's done for us. And then in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light as he is in the light. The purpose of our redemption is a life of service and holiness. When Loretta and I started our catering business, we were trying to find a name for it, and we named it At Your Service. And we took this from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We're not exalting ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And thus, we are the servants of others. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are a new creation. We're living a life of service and holiness to the Lord. The purpose of our redemption is a life of glorifying God, a life of freedom from sin, and a life of service and holiness. And then the prospect of our redemption. What do we have to look forward to? You see, our redemption's in three parts. If you're saved, you can say, I have been saved. And as you live your life here, you are being saved. When we go up in the rapture to be with the Lord, we are being saved. That's the third part of our redemption that we have to look forward to. In Romans 8 and verse 23, it says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. J. Vernon McGee said his wife complained, would complain about him groaning all the time. He said, I'm being biblical. And right there it is. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until to the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of his glory. The redemption of the purchased possession. That's that final stage in our redemption, when we go to be with the Lord forever. And Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So we who know the Lord have been redeemed. We are being redeemed. The Lord keeps us, and we shall be redeemed. You see, we have been saved from the penalty of sin, and we are being saved from the power of sin, and we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin when we go to be with Him. Redemption. The word of freedom. The picture of our redemption as we see it in the Old Testament. The provision of our redemption by right, by price, by power. The price of our redemption, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of our redemption, to glorify God, to be free from sin, to service and holiness. And then the prospect of our redemption. We shall be redeemed forever and ever. And Galatians 3:13 that we started out with says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. So the question I want to ask you today is, have you been redeemed? Are you sitting here today still in need of redemption? The redemptive price has been paid, but you have to accept it. God has never forced himself on anybody. And he will not force his salvation on you. You have to open the door. You have to invite him in. And you can be saved. You can be freed from the bondage of sin. And there are plenty of people who would like to be free from the bondage of sin, but they're going in the wrong direction to try to be free. They're doing the wrong things to try to be free. It's by simply accepting by faith that Jesus Christ shed His blood for you. As I was thinking about this subject of redemption, I started thinking about Fanny Crosby and the songs that she wrote. And I thought about how many times she used the word redemption. Listen to this. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Now listen to this phrase. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Not the word of redemption, but the definition of it. Purchased of God. And then, to God be the glory. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood. To every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. And then in the song Redeemed, and if you look in your hymn book at page 557, we have that song. We'll just read the words, and then we'll have prayer. 557. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me does continually dwell. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I worship Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guards all my footsteps and gives to me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, His child, and forever I am. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. You know, a lot of times we sing songs in church services and we're lying when we sing them. And some of you would be lying if you sang that song. But you don't have to be. You can make the change right now, today, and be redeemed, and be able to sing that song with gusto and complete assurance in your heart, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You know, we have the Lord's Supper here every Sunday morning, and that first verse says, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. We do show, we do proclaim the Lord's death till He come when we remember Him. And as we live our lives here on this earth, the only Bible that some people read is the Bible according to you. And you are the one who is going to describe to people who Jesus Christ really is by your life. And so let's go out and live like redeemed people. And if you're not redeemed, I would encourage you today to bow the knee to Him and give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for our redemption. We thank You that Jesus Christ was willing to leave the splendor of heaven and come into this world knowing what He faced, knowing the agony that He was going to go through, and shed His blood in order that our sins might be covered. We thank You that He redeemed us out of the prison house of sin. And I pray that if there's anyone sitting here today and they have not experienced that redemption, that they would before they leave here today. Work in their hearts. Bring conviction. Bring them to the end of themselves. That they come and bow in heart before You and humbly accept the price being paid for their sins. We pray Your blessings upon our continuing time today. We thank You for these who are coming here to proclaim that they have been redeemed. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Steve?